me because they know that I don't answer to them, I answer to you.
It is not good morning, which my remarks say here, but we're in the midst of a historic economic recovery. And because our successful vaccination program strategy has been working, and the immediate relief through the American Rescue Plan has brought us back our economy, America is now on track.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
We're now on track for the highest economic growth in 40 years, and we're in the highest growth records on record. We designed our economic strategy to be durable to the ups and downs that come with recovery. There are ups and downs. That's why the American Rescue Plan was designed to help people not just all at once, but over the course of a full year. So we could continue supporting families, small businesses, state and local budgets, to help them weather those ups and downs.
Did he just say continue to support small business?
Yeah, he did. Now, all his stimulus has put him at odds against small business. He just has, he has no lying filter, does he? No, not at all. I don't know. There's Joe Biden saying everything looks good, man. We're historic. We're on our way. Economic recovery is just, well, it's not right around the corner. We're living it. We're in the middle of it, if you want to believe Joe Biden. But who are you going to believe? Him or your eyes? Who, your shopping bill? Your gas when you pump? This new society? And well, I'm going to believe my eyes because my eyes only lie to me when I procrastinate, you know. And so I'm going to believe my eyes over Joe Biden because he had some ridiculous remarks about what's new in the economy. He said these remarks as in front of people, actually. He said the economy is historically great. And he also said that nobody's worried about inflation. Where's he living? Where is Joe Biden right now? To say that nobody's worried about inflation and the economy is historically great. Inflation, Joe, I'm worried about inflation. I saw my chicken wings go from like $8 to $12 to $18 now. That's called inflation. Has my paycheck gone up like that, Joe? No, we'll be headed toward a recession. He actually said there's nobody suggesting there's unchecked inflation on the way. He said no serious economists are. Well, he's right, except for the serious economists. He said, our experts believe, and the data shows that most of the price increases we've seen are were expected and expected to be temporary. All right, Joe, how long then until we say you're wrong? What is temporary? What, 3.5 years? Yeah. He actually said if we increase the availability of quality, affordable child care, this is the way Joe Biden says that he's going to rebuild the economy. Remember what President Trump did to rebuild the economy? Got rid of all the regulations. For every new regulation, you had to get rid of two. There was some equation in mix. We got rid of a lot of regulations. And we saw businesses come back. I mean, it was lickety-split after the election. They knew what he was going to do. They brought manufacturing back here. They started giving people bonuses. Remember? And this was capitalism. These were corporations doing it, not the government taking our taxpaying money and paying people to stay home while you got the Joe Biden administration stating that they're helping small business. So Trump did it the right way. Here's how Joe Biden's going to do it. And these are his words. Quote, if we increase the availability of quality, affordable child care, elder care, and paid leave, more people will enter the workforce. Brilliant. So if we get babysitters, get somebody to watch grandma and grandpa, and if you need to take time off of work, we'll pay you. That's going to help people in the workforce. Well, yeah, I can't say that maybe that wouldn't – I don't think that's going to make people go, nope, I don't want to take that job. You're going to get me a babysitter, and you're going to take care of elders in my family, and you're going to pay me if I don't want to work and going to go need paid leave. Sure. Joe, who's going to disagree with people be like, oh, that's horrible. Nah, can't take that out of my deal. He said, these steps will enhance our productivity. So people with paid leave. Okay, raising wages without raising prices. That won't increase inflation? I'm trying to figure out his words. He said it will take the pressure off of inflation. Babysitters will. It'll give a boost to our workforce. And that's going to lead to lower prices in the years ahead. Wow. Somebody cue theme music. What's wrong with this guy? What is wrong with him?
We're now on track for the highest economic growth in 40 years. And I'm one of the highest growth records on record.
The exact opposite is the case.
We designed our economic strategy to be durable to the ups and downs that come with recovery. There are ups and downs. That's why the American Rescue Plan was designed to help people not just all at once, but over the course of a full year. So we could continue supporting families, small businesses, state and local budgets.
Wow.
To help them weather those ups and downs.
All right, he's talking about his Biden's America Rescue Plan. You know what that's done, Joe? It's added to the welfare state. It's including paying people not to work than to go out and find a job. Joe, it's caused businesses. Yeah, they've had to raise their wages. You know, they've had to raise hourly rates. And you're going to think that's not going to raise prices? That's delusional, and you're lying, and that's really sad. Really, really sad. These spending plans adding trillions of dollars in more spending. The grocery billionaire, grocery CEO. He's the CEO of the Manhattan grocery chain. He said, your bacon's going to cost you a lot more this fall. Well, I guess we know what we're going into, don't we?
We're about to go into a dark winter. A dark winter.
Yeah, here's what they're saying. Inflation for food prices will hit a 10 to 14% by October. Let me repeat, 10 to 14% increase by October. I wish that was all that happened in my chicken wings. This is the president of Unity stating, John Katsimatidis. He's the CEO guy. He expects 10 to 14% food inflation by October. He told Fox Business that Americans can expect higher prices for basic expenses. He said both in the food business and he said we're in the oil business as well. He said food prices are getting higher and expect more increase by October, anywhere 10 to 14%. He said that is a real number. He said oil prices, I expect even higher numbers. He said everything just goes up. And down, I expect by October you're going to have over a 6% annualized rate of inflation. Do you think Joe Biden right now has more of a reason to lie to America than this businessman CEO of the Manhattan-based grocery chain has to lie to America? I mean, what's the upside to him lying to America, the grocery chain guy? Nothing. Joe Biden, come on, trying to claim inflation is about the end of the lockdowns. Nothing to do with spending all these trillions of dollars since he got just a few months ago. He got into office, trillions and trillions. Now they're talking about $3.5 trillion in new spending they're planning at the moment, the Democrats are. When you put that $3.5 trillion into the common sense machine, it's even closer to $6 trillion. The Consumer Price Index report showed that year-over-year inflation jumped 5.4%. That's three straight months of increase. Hey, Joe, I know you're saying it's historic and where our recovery is incredible. We have the single largest increase since the Great Recession of 2008. Now, could some of this food prices, everything going up, have to do with the bottlenecking when people do start to some of these benefits run out and they got to go back and work at the company that makes sure everything gets shipped out right. You know, you had people missing flights. That was because of the oil trucks didn't have enough workers to get the fuel to the airport. My parents got caught in that. I heard other people getting caught in that. And this, yeah, some of these bottlenecks can be temporary. That is if we don't have more lockdowns, right? Don't. I'm not going to train my brain to start thinking like, okay, let's think normal. No. I thought that there would be a sense in the political world that to continue to punish people would be bad at the voting polls, at the ballot box. That I thought Democrats had enough sense like that they wouldn't continue like to, hey, we're going to remask L.A. I mean, you could be the most Democrat of Democrat and maybe not all the way AOC Democrat, you know, not a socialist Democrat. Maybe they don't even know about socialism's invaded the Democratic Party. That kind of a Democrat. Maybe not up on top of the news, but they vote here and there. You know, now they're so angry, they're going to go out and probably, that's the only way that all of us that have been oppressed for going on 500 days to retaliate. We're not going to go blow up buildings like the Weather Underground did in the 60s. We're going to go vote. And that anger will be there. Now, could elections be swayed and stolen? Yeah, but to a degree of this outpouring of anger, I think it'd be really hard to go ahead and flip 90% of the votes. But they're saying Biden saying that no serious economist is worried about inflation, and then they fact check the guy, and it's sorry, there are some serious economists out there. Joe Biden, Larry Summers, one of those. He's been the Treasury Secretary under Clinton. He was also the director of the National Economic Council under former Obama. He was chief economist of the World Bank, president of Harvard University. Would you say that's a serious economist? I would give him that. I would. He's been warning of the Biden administration what all they're doing, risk inflation. He said, man, they're overheating it. And he's been saying this for a few months. You don't believe me? Here's his tweet. Labor market tightens, behavior housing market, and asset prices all rising in a more concerning way than I worried even a few months ago. This raises my degree of concern over overheating scenario. There are huge uncertainties, but the focus of concern now should be on overheating. He explained his worries. He said the American Rescue Bill made the mistake of pumping up demand too much without taking steps to increase supply, and that's resulted in inflation. But don't believe your ears or your eyes. Believe Joe Biden that no serious economist is worried about inflation. Come on. They're not doing that. You got 7 million Americans turning down jobs right now due to reliance on the government. And do you see a trend developing here? Taxpayer, your grandparents, your parents, you, me, we've spent $22 trillion to eliminate poverty. Decades of Americans paying taxes to eliminate poverty. And all we have to show now is more poverty and reliance on the government. And now you got unemployment benefits, over 7 million. Nah, I don't need that job offer. Nah. Morning Consult poll said there were 14.1 million adults who received unemployment benefits. They said reduced the number of job offers accepted by an estimated 7 million. They said only 50% have said they turned down a job because of the need to take care of children, family members, something with coronavirus or any kind of health reason. The other 50% said they turned down a job because unattractive. Too many hours worked. I don't want a remote work. It's not the industry that I wanted to work in. And we've relaxed everything down to the point of universal basic income. Every Republican in California voting for it. That's where we are now. Used to be where unemployment, you're going to get that unemployment. Well, you paid into it. All right, it's yours. I'm not against unemployment. Believe me, I'm not. But if you were offered a job, you had to take it. No more. Newsom's in trouble. So many headlines like this. Disney's moving 2,000 jobs out of California. Where are they going to go? Well, I think you probably got that answer in your head. We'll hear from that state and that governor next.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
I will say, if you're trying to call the show at 559-230-4242, it's not working with cell phones. It's connecting from landlines, but not from cell phones. And we've had four or five people do the test with the cell phone, and it just disconnects, which leads us to believe we have some kind of possible cell phone coverage outage somewhere out there. But just to let you know, it's not just you if you did try and call. Another major corporation moving thousands of jobs away from California. They're going to sunny Florida. Well, so many people have, haven't they? A lot go to Texas. A lot go to Florida, as we've seen. 2,000 jobs, bye-bye to California. Why? Florida's more pro-business. Here's the letter. They said, in addition to Florida's business-friendly climate, the new regional campus gives us the opportunity to consolidate creative operational standpoint. See in the first few words there, business-friendly climate. That's not California.
I value and respect all of you.
Yeah, except businesses that need a business-friendly climate. Would you look at that? Governor DeSantis proven again. More business to the state of California. See, when you manage a state properly and you understand about pro-business policies, it will attract more business. Imagine that. Governor Newsom and elected leaders in California, of course, with our restrictions with COVID and the man-made lockdown, Disney had to lay off 32,000 people last year. The restrictions in California. So I guess the Disney bosses said, this wokeness, let's wise up. Let's move to a safer environment for our backers. Let's do it. Let's make the right decision. Because they knew Newsom was on again, off again, on again, off again, on again, off again. And, these woke lefties, we all know, follow the money. Money talks. Florida under Ron DeSantis. I guess made him an offer they just can't refuse. He was speaking to Governor DeSantis. He was down on the border, and he came back, and it's brilliant what he had to say.
I have to say, I was a little bit perturbed when I was at the southern border when I started thinking about if you wanted to fly from Brazil or you wanted to do certain travel, the way you would be treated by the federal government under the auspices of COVID mitigation. And some people wouldn't even be allowed to come. A lot of these flights aren't even allowed. If you wanted to go on a cruise ship, the federal government doesn't want you except under extreme circumstances. So they're very, very rigorous with kind of lawful commercial activity and travel. But if you just want to hopscotch across that border, they don't care about COVID. They're letting you straight in. They're throwing you on a bus, and they're sending you all over the fruited plain in this country. So I don't understand how you square that. If you're saying the cruises have to go through all these procedures because of COVID, wouldn't you want people coming from 100 different countries to just not be able to pour into the country effectively with very little pushback? So I think it's a huge, huge problem. And the idea that we would treat American citizens and their right to travel with more disfavor then we're treating foreign nationals illegally entering our country. I don't think that didn't sit well with me, and I was really frustrated to see that.
I'm glad it didn't sit well with him. But as we know, Governor,
people aren't regulated.
You got to get them regulated. Governor DeSantis has a campaign store. He's got T-shirts. He's got beer koozies with the slogan, "Don't Fauci my Florida." I like that. Don't Fauci my Florida. Good line. Good line. You want to hear one of the best lines ever? You know how these social media influencers go out there and get everybody to follow them, and they do cutesy little things. And this girl's probably 24 years old, attractive, in a yoga or a workout, real skimpy thing. And she's out on the street with her phone and she sees a police officer. And she goes into him on the sunny sidewalk and all the little hearts and everybody's making comments on the side. And she's like, "Hi, how would you rate me 1 to 10? Listen.
What's your name?
Isaac.
Isaac, what do you rate me out of 10?
I'm happily married.
actually would know where you.
Okay, so if you had to write me, if you didn't have a wife, come on.
I'd be a one. It's a little desperate, that's why. So. The most important person in my life is my wife. So she's number one.
Thank you.
A one. He gave her a one and said, you're desperate. The look on her face was classic. Well, 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 we got our new relationship with iHeart and Fresno State Sports. You know his voice, the voice of the Bulldogs, Mr. Paul Loeffler. We're going to take some Fresno State football, and we're going to do it next.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Well, I know it might be hard when it's 101 degrees out to think of sitting in the football stands and ready for fall football, but we are ready. He's the voice of the Bulldogs, Paul Loeffler. Paul, thank you for being back on. It's been a while, sir.
It has been a while, Trevor, but I know you've been working hard, and so have I, and more importantly, the Bulldogs finally get to put their work on display in front of the Red Wave this fall. Fans back in the stadium, nobody can wait. I'm fired up.
Now, I know you prep shows. I just tried to get you to do my prep for me. I asked if you'd be ready to recap the last 5 years, but you know what I did? I did the prep, Paul. I'm going to look at 2016, 1-11, 2017, 10-4, 2018, 12-2, 2019, 4-8. Last year, we'll just knock that off, and then here we are this year. Now, I know you were at the Mountain West Media, and you got to talk to a lot of coaches. What were your major takeaways with Coach DeBoer? I got to talk to him in here for about 15 minutes one day, but of course you go a lot deeper. What was your takeaway from the coach?
Well, the coach is energetic and enthusiastic, and you can just tell that it's hard for him to contain his excitement. And I talked to all 12 coaches in the league today, and I talked to the commissioner, Craig Thompson. There is a lot of enthusiasm about the potential for the Mountain West this year, and long-term, you know, with this talk of maybe a 12-team college football playoff coming into view in a few years, could and should create access to a shot at a national championship if you just keep winning. So that's a big thing for the conference. For Coach DeBoer, he knows he's got a special group of young men. He's got a lot of proven talent coming back on the offensive side of the ball. They're excited about some of the new talent coming in, too, on the defensive side of the ball to shore things up. The experience is, you know, this may be the most experienced Bulldog team we've seen in a long time because of the nature of the last year and a half and the pandemic changing the eligibility picture. So guys who normally would have moved on are still playing, and you have guys who've got that extra year of experience. So I think there are a lot of things, Trevor, that are pointing in the right direction, and that season is going to be here before you know it. They start practice a week from Friday. The first game is August 28th at home against Connecticut.
Oh, man. Well, I said the fall in the stands. That's summer. So it's summer in the stands, right?
Exactly. It's going to be toasty. And the UConn Huskies will feel that more than the Bulldogs, of course.
That's right. Yeah. Here, like when people go play the Denver Broncos. The Broncos are good. It's everybody else that can't breathe at that elevation. So, yeah, we're used to the heat here in the Valley. Well, we got heat from opponents as well. I always think of Boise State and San Jose State, major rivals. Head coach there at San Jose State, Abalos, that's Boise. Abalos, yeah. Is Boise. What did he have to say? Did you get to sit down and speak to him at all, to any of the opponents at the media day?
I did. I talked to every head coach in the league, and I'll tell you, to a man, they had great things to say about Fresno State and what Coach DeBoer is building. One coach in the West Division, and everyone seems to think this year, Trevor, that the West is a little more deep than the Mountain Division, that's going to be the strength of the conference this year, and it's easy to see why. But I had one coach from a Western Division school who said he thinks Fresno State has the best talent in the entire conference. So we'll see if that's proven on the field. But specifically to Coach Abalos from Boise State, I'll tell you, he looks like one of the players, Trevor. It's a trip. He's got a baby face, as he described it, and you do a double take. So, man, that guy's a head coach in this league. And then you understand why.
How old is he? Is he late 20s or is he in his 30s? Or is he one of the youngest out there?
He's in the late 30s, and he played at Boise State. And, you know, he's been an assistant. He's been a coordinator at Oregon, and a defensive-minded guy, and his mantra is humble and hungry. He wants his guys humble and hungry, And we talked about it. You know, when he comes and brings Boise State to Fresno November 6th, I'm sure Bulldog fans are already snatching up those tickets right now. The Broncos will be in Bulldog Stadium November 6th. He knows he's in for it. He knows it's going to be a battle. And one thing I heard from a lot of these coaches this year, Trevor, which is interesting, because I think the Mountain West has kind of gotten this label as an offensive conference and kind of an up-tempo, you know, run-and-shoot kind of league, even though some schools do that. I think every coach this year is talking about the need for physicality. And Todd Graham from Hawaii was just, you know, his answer to what's going to make the difference, who wins that Western Division and maybe who wins the conference, what's going to be the separating factor. And he said it's going to be the team that plays the best defense, the team that allows the fewest points. It has that, you know, that best per game defensive points allowed number is going to be the one that comes out on top. So I think some of the focus, maybe because of turnover in coaches at different schools, but I think it's becoming a more physical, hard-nosed football kind of league.
It sounds to me it's not like boxing. They don't talk their opponents down. Good to hear. They're talking good of the other teams as well, right? Well, we were talking about the heat here. Connecticut, I have to play in, and then, you know, Denver with the elevation. Does that blue turf, Boise, does that mess with opponents? Do you hear the players talk about it at all? I don't like to watch it on TV.
No, and, you know, it has certainly had an effect at times. I know it's a headache for coaches reviewing film at times, and for years they were wearing jerseys that blended in, and it was hard to see. But there are a lot of little things like that in this conference, Trevor, and sometimes it's the uniqueness of the schedule and how it sets up. And the Bulldogs this year have an outstanding schedule. I mean, they have that home opener against Connecticut, but then they go to Oregon week two. A couple weeks after that, they're going to UCLA, and in between they've got a special September 11th game against Cal Poly. I mean, every week has something to get excited about, but what's going to be a real interesting swing is the first two weekends in October, because the Bulldogs go to Hawaii, where they're going to play on campus for the first time ever. Aloha Stadium was condemned. They're building a new one, and the Rainbow Warriors are kind of improvising a stadium on campus where they practiced before. But the Bulldogs are going to go from that game at sea level to the next week playing in Laramie, Wyoming, the highest altitude Division I stadium in the country. It's 7,220 feet. So you talk about from 1 week to the next, weather, altitude, not to mention the differing styles those two teams play. That's going to be a crazy road swing for the Bulldogs on back-to-back Saturdays.
Is every time Fresno State plays UCLA, have there ever been any years where they're not the underdog?
Well, you know, the last time they went down there, and you went through that five-year history, Coach Tedford took the Bulldogs down there in 2018, and that's the year where they did end up 12-2. In fact, they finished the season right here in Las Vegas, beating Arizona State in the Las Vegas Bowl. And Ronnie Rivers, who we'll talk to tomorrow, was the star and the MVP of that game with over 200 yards rushing. That year's team, 2018, they went down to UCLA, and I think in a lot of people's minds, they were underdogs. But by the second half of that game, there was no question who the dominant team was. And it was so surreal, Trevor. I know every Bulldog fan who was there wants to see that recreated September 18th. But by the second half of that game, most of the Bruin fans were gone. And you could hear the Fresno State chant going up from all the red waivers who were filling the Rose Bowl at that point. So if they can recreate something like that on September 18th against what I think is going to be a very much improved UCLA team, that's going to be a big high-water mark for this program and another step in the right direction.
My guest, the voice of the Bulldogs, Paul Loeffler. We're talking about Fresno State football. That would be such a momentum kicker heading into the rest of the season right there. Let me ask, are there any rules against colors of turf? Like, could Fresno State have a red turf if we wanted?
Well, the thing with Boise's turf and a couple others is they're grandfathered in now to the scenario. So there is a red field. Eastern Washington, which is one of the best teams at the FCS level, the football championship subdivision, they have a red field up there in Cheney, Washington. Coastal Carolina has a teal field out on the East Coast, and Eastern Michigan has a gray field. But they did pass some legislation against that, and those teams at this point are grandfathered in. But I think having the green field that pops, and that's fairly new AstroTurf that they put in at Bulldog Stadium, that is a real safe surface. I mean, you'll hear Cameron Worrell on our games this year. He can tell you all about it. He understands all the ins and outs. But Fresno State has one of the best fields from a look and feel and safety standpoint in all of college football.
Paul, you met with Media Day with these coaches. Let's talk for in closing here. Thank you for your time with San Jose State. Coach Brennan there. What did he, any takeaways from talking to him?
Yeah, you know, he's a guy who I remember when he showed up here the first time. You know, this is his fifth year now, and he came in as a coach. If you recall, the Spartans were talking about hiring Pat Hill, who you're also going to hear on all our Bulldog football broadcasts on the iHeart Network this year. And Brent Brennan got the job and had never been a head coach before, and the first few years were a real struggle. And last year, he probably faced a taller order than anyone in the conference because Santa Clara County was the strictest county, I think, in America for COVID. And you know, they couldn't even live there. They couldn't practice there. Even after they won the league, at one point, the county health officer wasn't going to let them fly out of the airport there to go play their bowl game. I mean, it was things you'd never thought of or encountered before. And he navigated all of that and led that Spartan team to a championship. So now you see him, and there's that, you know, his chest is out. His countenance is different. He's proven something, right? And you can tell. And now he knows you can get it done at San Jose State. And his team wasn't picked to win the West in the preseason media poll. They've got Nevada slated number one and San Jose State number two. The media picked the Bulldogs number four. But I think you look at that whole West division and you can make a case for anybody really breaking through and pushing to the top. And San Jose State, with the returning talent, with an outstanding hard-hitting defense, with a great pass rush, a veteran quarterback in Nick Starkel who led them to the title last year, and a lot of talent on that offensive side, the Spartans will definitely be in the mix. And that's another date, Trevor, to circle on everybody's calendar. Thanksgiving Day, the Bulldogs are going to play the Spartans up in San Jose. And that's going to be a real unique situation. And there could be a whole lot on the line, even a division title, because that'll be the last game of the year.
Well, here we are. We're getting all ready for it. And I'm glad I thought of this right at the end here. Name, image, and likeness. Is Paul Loeffler a thumbs up or a thumbs down on that? I know it's already implemented, but do you think it's going to be good or bad, or do you want to wait and see how it all works out?
I think there is. I think it's good for the student athletes to have that opportunity. I think the challenge is going to be how do you prevent corruption and inequity from a competitive standpoint in college sports. You know, you'll hear that moniker thrown out, the Wild Wild West, and in many ways that's what it's going to be, and that applies to the transfer situation too, where you know you can move from school to school, and there's nothing stopping you from doing that. So I think it's really creating new challenges for coaches on the recruiting front. And then, you know, the other thing I've talked to a few coaches here today about is how does it affect the chemistry of your team if your quarterback all of a sudden has a six-figure endorsement deal?
I heard Alabama seven figures.
That's true. It is seven figures at Alabama. And I'll tell you, right at Fresno State, you know, the Cavender Twins on the basketball team, they have one of the most lucrative deals in all of college sports for any you know, endorsements from college athletes.
So well, Paul, you're in the environment. Are you seeing the sports agents, the Drew Rosenhouses of the world running around now? Are there a bunch more of them? Because there's money to be made. You know they're there, right?
They're there, and I think what's interesting, some of the things I didn't consider, I think that you're seeing a lot of, how would I say it? It's tailored situations, right? So there's a company that has a unique product. They say, well, that's a unique sport and a unique athlete in that sport, and I'm going to get them to endorse my product. So it might not be the household name for everybody else, but if it has a tie to that specific product, then those young men or those young women are going to have that opportunity. And I do think it's opening up a lot of avenues that we wouldn't have imagined are going to be there. And, yeah, there will be some of those agents out there trying to help people out and play middleman and gravy train it. But, you know, if the student athletes can put themselves in a good position and learn some of the life skills that you need to manage that, it certainly can help them and create a more equitable situation.
Yeah, and we're talking seven figures at Alabama, but you're going to have the guy that went to high school in Fort Collins. He's a polling right guard, and he goes to UNC, and, you know, he'll get some car dealership. He'll do an ad for him, and he'll have some money. So I think, yeah, it's a good deal. Well, listen, August 28th, Connecticut. Paul, it's GoBulldogs.com to get it, and we're looking forward here at iHeart for this big new coverage that we're going to do here. And, hey, anytime, man, let's do some little updates here on the show. Sure would love, and it was good to talk to you again.
Yeah, anytime, Trevor, and I'll tell you, I just can't wait to see the red wave back in Bulldog Stadium, so I hope you're there August 28th, too.
Yeah, and you got me excited about that UCLA game as well. We'll see a little upset going on. Thank you, Paul.
You betcha.
He's the voice of the Bulldogs. You got it. GoBulldogs.com. Get your tickets. MIT predicted back in 1972 that society would collapse this century. My next story shows we're right on schedule.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Well, some breaking news over the last few hours. Larry Elder will be on the ballot September 14th.
But the more I looked at it, the more I saw how arrogantly this governor has handled the pandemic, imposing the most strict coronavirus lockdowns of any of the 50 states while violating them at that French restaurant with the very people that set down the mandates, while his own kids still enjoyed in-school private education, while his own business, that winery, was exempted from the mandates. Something has to happen.
Well, it is. It's called a recall, and Larry Elder will be on that. I told you MIT predicted in 1972 that society will collapse this century. It was a warning. These scientists got together and studied the risk of civilization collapse, and they said, well, it's going to happen sometime in the 21st century. They said the year they gave was 2040. They talked about population, mortality rates, food, welfare, all that kind of good stuff. But this next story will back up MIT in 1972. Yeah, 2040. Yeah, that sounds about right with this story I'm going to do right now. And I don't know if any of these people have ever had a kid of their own or babysat a baby or anything. It's this Australian childcare chain where you drop your kids off. They're telling parents that you need to ask the baby for permission before changing their diaper. They encourage parents to slow down diaper changes, not to interrupt the toddler if they're playing. They run 75 centers across Australia. You got to ask permission before changing the baby or the kid's toddler's diaper. Ask permission. Wow. It said it encourages parents to put themselves in the child's shoes and ask, if you were a baby, how would you like to have your diaper changed? The answer is immediately. Wow, what's wrong with people? I mean, you leave a baby in a diaper, the skin infections. I mean, there's some that get really, really, really bad. And you got to be a woke parent, and you got to respect your child's wishes to have their diaper changed. They're not kidding. They said also you shouldn't interrupt the kid. I'm reading this. You shouldn't interrupt the kid's playtime to change them, and that they should let the kids stand for a change if they want to. A toddler standing up. No, I don't want to lay down. I want to stand up. Okay, I'll change your diaper standing up. I mean, it's been a while, but I can flash back to hazardous material leaking out from diapers. Yeah, honey, it's okay. Stand up. That'll be real easy. Yes, we are. Probably before 2040, right? It all goes back to letting everybody score a run in T-ball. Have it their way. Oh, please, Calgun. Take me away. Is Dr. Doom? Is Face Mask Fauci maybe really in trouble? Senator Rand Paul seeking criminal referral on Fauci. Of course, they went at it, man. Yes, they did. And we know what's going on. We know the truth that's been going on, don't we? Sure we do. They went at it, and Fauci, he snapped back. Oh, boy, he's getting grumpy, isn't he?
Increases transmissibility to humans.
Right.
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about.
Criminal referral to the Department of Justice. Probably one of the most important six-minute combos. We'll hear it next.